It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stardom Sit'em Week 7. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. That is Kyle Yates and Andrew Erickson. And of course, it's you. And today, it's about the starts and the sits. Whatever players we have left, we're going to do our best to try to make some lineups for everybody. Oh, this is going to be a good time. All the buys, all the injuries, it doesn't matter. We're going to find names to plug in those spots because we never surrender here. There is no go. There is no leave. There is no way that we are ever going to just give up on a week. No, that's not how we roll. That's not how we play. So we're going to do everything we can to help you set all your lineups. And I know it's a tough week to set lineups. It might be the toughest week in recent memory of playing fantasy football to do that. And I can't think of a better time to sit here with the two of you and hammer that out. Andrew Erickson, just out of curiosity, how are your teams holding up in this horrible week 7?
Man, it's hurting out there. I mean, I have a couple teams where I'm just trying to plug in the holes and not trying to upheaval the entire roster to fill in, you know, a wide receiver spot or running back spot. And, you know, if you have a team where you have like five or six guys on bye, just honestly, just take the L. If you really can't, you know, maneuver, unless you have to basically like, you have to drop a bunch of players that you don't want to drop, then I think it's just better. You know, this is a strategy sometimes people do, is they draft players all in the same bye week and they're like, all right, well, I'll just lose week 7 and I'll move on. But then I'll be at full strength the rest of the way. So I think that, okay, there are a couple options you go on the waiver wire, but don't overdo it with trying to fill in spots if your league allows it. I know some leagues don't allow it, but that's what I would recommend.
I've actually had success with that in the past. Not that I was specifically looking for all these players on one specific bye week, but when it starts to look like that, when you step back from your draft, you go, okay, then I'm going to save my fab and attack good free agents instead of just looking for replacement players. So in a way, that's actually not the worst case scenario, but there is a scenario out there too for teams that are doing well, who have gotten lucky with health or drafted Derrick Henry, that Yates, a lot of people keep asking me, you know, I don't want to drop this player. This is a quality player just to add a kicker, to which I tell everybody, well, then don't do that. Keep the integrity of your team. Keep all the talent you have. You're going to need that talent. To heck with kicker, to heck with the defense or whatever it is that you don't want to give up. Are you somebody that believes that too? Would you rather take the goose egg in the spot in your lineup in order to maintain the high quality level of talent on your roster long term?
it's situation dependent and player dependent, right? Where I think a perfect example was someone asking recently about Alexander Mattison. Do you drop Alexander Mattison, you know, if you need a running back for this week or, you know, something like that where you can just pick him up? And I was like, at that point, it depends really on what the situation is for your league. What's the matchup? Are you projected to lose by a ton, or is the other person that you're playing dealing with bye week hell as well? You know, that's the other thing here too, is that everyone is dealing with injuries and bye weeks. This is not just an exclusive thing for a few set rosters that drafted from these few teams. No, this is a league-wide issue. So even if you are dealing with injury here and bye weeks and stuff like that, there's a pretty good chance that you should still be competitive in this one because the other team that you're facing most likely is in the same boat.
All right. Well, we're going to see if we can get this boat to shore. See what I did there? A nice little segue. Metaphors just abound today. I'm telling you, we're going to have a great show. I can feel it in my bones. But before we kick things off, I want to remind everybody, if you need some help setting your lineups, you must go to fantasypros.com/myplaybook. The Start Sit Assistant is going to help you. Instant recommendations on your team's best lineups for the week. You can see the percentage of experts who would start each player that's on your roster. You can edit. You can set your lineup right from My Playbook. That is an incredible time saver. I can't tell you how much I love doing that every single week, because if you're like me and you play on all these different sites, it's a pain to have to say, okay, this is the lineup I want, and then have to go from My Playbook somewhere else. No. You can do it all right there. Save yourself a lot of time. That's how Yates has all that time to do his hair and get the hair so high most days. You can't see it today on the YouTube because he was doing too many waiver wire things and all this other stuff going on. But I'm telling you, the Start Sit Assistant is how he has that extra time. So go to My Playbook. That's how you get that. You can view and change all your lineups in all your different leagues in one tool. And maybe if things haven't gone so well for you in certain leagues, but you don't want to be that person who kind of quits, because we're not quitters here. Check out the autopilot feature also. You can set your lineups automatically, basically using that autopilot feature. It's fantastic. It auto swaps inactive players. It sets your most effective lineup in real time. And if you're in a lot of leagues, and some leagues, like I said, going well, some you want to, you know, put your attention towards those and not necessarily some other ones, well, autopilot is a great way to maintain the integrity of the league. And again, it'll automatically set your optimal lineup every single week for you. So check out the Start Sit Assistant and the autopilot, both over fantasypros.com/myplaybook. Now it's time for the action. So let's get into it. Let's start the running back position. Kyle Yates, you're up first. Let's talk about the running backs. Saying that we have the luxury to even talk about guys in the top 20 that we don't feel good about, I just feel good if you're playing. Right now, if you're playing, I feel good about you, but for the sake of the show and sake of everybody out there, let's talk about a player in the top 20 that you feel slightly concerned with, whether it be health, matchup, combination of the two, that's in the top 20 this week that maybe you want to fade, but probably have to start anyway.
Running back rankings are real tough this week. Writing the primer, I haven't really had a ton of time to like dive into rankings specifically. So it was talking about in the primer, was writing that up. And as I'm thinking about this show, I'm thinking, all right, start of the week, who could that be? Oh, you know what? Arizona's 17.5-point favorites over Houston. Like, James Conner is probably a really solid play this week. Not many people. He's probably going to be like RB 28, 30 in ECR, like in that range where he's RB 19 in ECR. So this is just telling you where we're at right now. I am going to say, as a top 20 fade, here's my reasoning, guys. It's Mike Davis, and I want to sit Mike Davis because he's Mike Davis, but I'm playing him because he's Mike Davis, and he's a starting running back. So this is really just where we're at. I mean, I'm concerned about Mike Davis this week just because I've been concerned about him all year, right? The workload is there to a point, but the efficiency has not been. You're really hoping that he finds the end zone this week to at least provide you value, but you got to start him because he is a starting running back that's going to see more than 12 touches this week, which you look down the board a little bit. It's not the case for many other players.
That was nearly a Mike Davis haiku, in case you're following along at home. That was very nice, very zen of you. Andrew Erickson, how about for you in the top 20s or somebody you're fading this week that you don't love the matchup, but you probably got to play anyway?
Antonio Gibson, I got concerns about him from an injury standpoint. He's dealing with a shin injury. He's already got an MRI. He's already logged a DNP. I mean, I don't even know if this guy's going to play. So that's one of the big things. It seems like we talk about on the show a lot of the time. I talk about a running back I don't like, and then they don't play, and then I can't look smart when they disappoint because you wouldn't play them anyway. But that's okay. I'm willing to move on from that. But Antonio Gibson, also, you look at the game flow scenario. If they're up against the Green Bay Packers, kind of similar to last week where they're playing a high-powered offense, We're probably going to see more J.D. McKissick, who I think we're going to talk about a little bit here as well. So Gibson, he's been a guy that's been able to be effective when he's able to score touchdowns and when he's been efficient on the ground. The Green Bay Packers matchup is good. I mean, we saw Khalil Herbert run over them on the ground last week, but I just don't know how healthy Antonio Gibson is. I think that we would see a little bit more Jarrett Patterson, and if they fall behind, we know that they don't use Gibson as much in the passing game. They're going to turn to McKissick. So Antonio Gibson, I remember I had him ranked when I first started the week as like RB12. And then I was like, wait, no, I got to keep like moving him down and moving him down. And it just doesn't feel great putting him into your RB1 spot potentially.
All right. I can ask you a question because this came up yesterday on Stages on our Discord channel. And if you haven't joined that already, you should do it because it's awesome. It's a great place to interact with us. We take questions. You basically come up on the stage and, you know, you talk about your team with us and we kind of help you through decisions. And we were talking a lot about the Jared Patterson versus J.D. McKissick argument. And from last week, it seemed like McKissick might be that guy. But at the same time, Patterson had a tremendous college career, had a wonderful preseason. Do you think Patterson might surprise for those people in, let's say, those 14, 16 team leagues that are out there and just desperate for running back? Patterson might be one of those few guys that's available. What's your expectation potentially if Gibson is out? How much play Patterson might actually get?
I think he'd play a lot. I think that he would be the featured guy on early downs. And I know that he doesn't have a lot of receiving work on his college production profile from Buffalo, but if you played him in preseason DFS, like I did, as a degenerate that I am,
yeah,
he was an all-encompassing bell cow. Like he was seeing the ball through the air on the ground. It was really, really good in the preseason. Like he flashed a lot, and that matters. Like people say the preseason doesn't matter, and to an extent, the numbers themselves don't matter. But what you see on the field, and you see that Jarrett Patterson earned a role on the 53-man roster, like he was not on the practice squad. Like he played well enough to unseat Lamar Miller. They cut Peyton Barber. So like he was doing the right things and playing well as a late round draft pick, similar to like a Khalil Herbert. We could kind of see the whole thing kind of play out. They are not very dissimilar, Herbert and Jarrett Patterson. Jarrett Patterson had a great college production profile. So I think we'd see a lot of him. And I'm starting to just, you know, as we see Derrick Henry just go on this epic run again, it's a good reminder that you know, durability is just really important. It's so important. And you look at a guy like McKissick, is not going to see 20 touches per game. Like he'll break in half. And that's just part of his game. He's just not going to be a guy that they can shoulder the workload where a Jarrett Patterson, that's all he did, even though at a smaller size, that's all he did at the college level. So I think Patterson would be the major pickup and the major beneficiary of a Antonio Gibson injury that would, you know, if he's knocked out for a couple of weeks.
Games played, an important statistic that we need to value a little bit more, especially in the first round, guys, when you make investments. Let's take a quick break from the action to tell you guys about Pristine Auction. That is the place to go for all the cool swag this football season. Helmets, footballs, jerseys, you like baseballs, you like bats, you like artwork, you like cool stuff that you want to bid on. Pristine Auction is the place to go. Head over to pristineauction.com. Again, that's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. And when you use that promo code FANTASYPROS, you get a $5 credit on us just to sign up. It's free to sign up. And there's $5 in your account just on us and start bidding on all these amazing items they have. We're giving away a Kyler Murray football that's autographed. Guess what? That's where we got it, Pristine Auction. So go to pristineauction.com, get your bidding on, and get some cool stuff that you can put around your house this upcoming football season. And now, back to the show. For me this week, it's Chase Edmonds. He has just 10 fantasy points over the last 2 weeks combined. The shoulder injury seems to be bothering him. I don't love the game script here in Houston. He is RB15 right now. And I see this being a game where you would imagine that Arizona being 17.5-point favorites. I don't know if it's moved to 5,000.5 in since we started the show. It's very possible. But they're going to have a huge lead, theoretically, in this. You would imagine Connor gets a fair amount of work. You imagine maybe even some backups, maybe even guys coming out in the fourth quarter. I don't love this situation here. This is not really a dogfight game with a guy who's not really completely healthy. So there's a lot of combinations of things I don't like. And a big game the following week coming up against Green Bay for Arizona. So Chase Edmonds is the one that kind of scares me. Let's get into some of the guys on the fringe right here. Yates, let's go with you. The start guys for you on the fringe of, let's say, the flex RB range that you actually like this week that you think might be able to at least get you some points if you're desperate and you're trying to plug in some names.
The first one, I'm going to be... I don't feel great about this call, but the first one, I'm going to go all the way down to RB40 in ECR. and that's Sony Michel. We look at the game script here for the Los Angeles Rams and the Detroit Lions. The Rams are currently 15-point favorites over the Detroit Lions, and I think that I will easily take the Rams side of that. I think that they are going to just destroy Detroit this week. So we could see, just like last week, where Los Angeles is up big at halftime, and then they just lean into the run game, and they start to lean on Sony Michel in the second half there and give Daryl Henderson some rest. So I think Sony Michel, especially when you look at some of the names that he's behind, right? You look at Kenyon Drake. Drake scored 2 touchdowns last week, but he only had 6 total touches. Like, Kenneth Gainwell, not involved whatsoever. Nyheim Hines has disappointed. So Jamal Williams only got, 4 touches last week, or 6 touches. Like, it's definitely not something where I think Sony Michel might have more opportunity than some of these other guys that are above him in ECR. So it is completely a risky play because you are betting on, like, for him to see work, it has to be the game script. The game script has to play out the way that Vegas is betting on. But I think it can definitely pay off for desperate fantasy managers. So it's a little bit of a sneaky play there, but Sony Michel is one that I wanted to highlight here.
All right, so that's one. Give me a second one, because we all need multiple options here this week.
Yeah, I think A.J. Dillon is someone that we can look at now. I've been talking about Dillon, that he's been slowly moving up my rest of the season running back rankings because he's starting to see work here in this backfield, at least to the point where it's not necessarily hurting Aaron Jones. It hurts the upside just a little bit, but there's more than enough volume for both of these guys to see work, and especially that's really what we want right now, is we just want players that are getting work at the running back position. AJ Dillon is going to see a minimum of 10 touches in this game. And if they do go up big on Washington, which is a favorable matchup, then we could see them lean into the run game even more in the second half, again, buying into the game script narrative. So AJ Dillon is currently RB 30 in ECR. I am a little bit higher than that. I think he is a solid play for desperate fantasy managers.
All right, Andrew, give me a couple guys that you feel are start worthy on the fringe of RB 3 flex guys that we, might hold our nose and set our lineups with.
So I'm going to go back to Miles Sanders. He's at RB24 ECR, and it's because we're starting to see him use a little bit more on the offense. I know that he hasn't really done much basically since week one in terms of fantasy production because they've been using Kenneth Gainwell. They had a little bit of an affair with Kenny G for a little bit, and it seems like they're starting to like kind of come to the conclusion that maybe they shouldn't be featuring this, you know, fifth round pick as much when they have the super explosive running back on their roster. So, I mean, Miles Sanders, he had 11 of the 12 running back touches in the Eagles backfield on Thursday night. And again, that was a game, that was a matchup where he was supposed to do absolutely nothing. And he rushed for over 50 yards against the Buccaneers run defense. So I think that that's kind of, that just kind of highlights, encapsulates, you know, his ability as a big play specialist running back. So I think Miles Sanders, he saw his snap share 83%. Was a season high. 66 route participation was also a season high. So they're using him a lot more than they had done during the start of the year. And if Jalen Hurts doesn't score those 2 rushing touchdowns, Miles Sanders potentially could have scored 2 of those rushing touchdowns. So I think that it's a good matchup against the Las Vegas Raiders. Raiders are tied with the Texans, who I know you just talked about as a defense we want to attack with our running backs, 29th in the league in explosive rushes allowed. So people are talking about starting James Conner and Chase Edmonds against a bad Texans run defense. I think that the Raiders run defense also is not that great, and it fits into Sanders' skill set as an explosive running back. So again, no player has more carries inside the 5-yard line without a touchdown so far this year than Miles Sanders. So I think that he's due for some positive touchdown regression in a game that I think that we'll see some points in.
I think it's really depressing that we talked about 50 yards rushing as like this great achievement just now. I just want to point that out. I mean, that is sad. That's the circumstance we are living in right now. Look at Sanders. He had 50 whole yards rushing. We should get super excited.
Well, against
about
the Bucs. Against the Bucs. That's the key point. The Bucs.
I know, but still. And I mean, by the way,
Damien Harris had -1 yards against the Bucs.
This is also a fact. This is also a fact. And I'm also not going to forgive you for saying an affair with Kenny G earlier, because now I have just soft jazz playing in my head for the rest of the show. And I hate you, Andrew. You're the worst. All right. Give me another guy that you think you can hold your nose and start this week, potentially, in this week where we are just desperate for running backs.
D'Ernest Johnson, Cleveland Browns running back. Again, the running backs don't matter mantra has been running pure the last couple of weeks. I know that Scott Hansen on NFL Red Zone mentioned, he just like lists off all these backup running backs. It's like Chuba Hubbard scored, like all these running backup running backs. Like, yeah, man, because running backs don't matter. Like, that's basically what's kind of, you're literally seeing it play out right now. And so it's going to be put to the test Thursday night, where D'Ernest Johnson is replacing 2 of the league's best running backs, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do, but I believe that he's going to get the majority of touches in the backfield. Like, they know they signed John Kelly from the practice squad. They have Demetric Felton, but he's really been playing wide receiver more of this year than running back. I know that he's listed as a running back on several different sites, but if you've been watching the Browns or looking at the snap counts, you can get him over on PFF.com. You're finding out that he's lining up as a slot receiver. That's how he's actually used a lot in the preseason as well. That's how he's used a lot at the college level. So yeah, he could get more involved in the passing game, but you know, we've seen D'Ernest Johnson produce before. He had a good game against Dallas last year for the Cleveland Browns. He looked really good in the preseason. From what I remember, he was running over guys really great after contact. And he was actually Case Keenum's favorite receiver in the preseason. He actually saw the most targets from Case Keenum during preseason work. So I'm confident that if Cleveland falls behind in this matchup, which they have a backup quarterback, you know, that could definitely happen, that D'Ernest Johnson isn't totally game scripted out where he will be running routes, maybe catching some dump offs from Case Keenum. So again, this isn't a high upside play, but if you picked him up this week, you probably were looking to start someone. So I think that if you need an RB2, I like D'Ernest Johnson because he's a volume-based play. And so far this year, the waiver wire running backs have been good that have gotten the volume. So I think that Johnson kind of falls into that category.
All right. Dare I say, Yates, who are the guys you want to sit this week? I know it's a very small group probably, but
right.
Who would you earmark for the bench if you had, let's say, options?
Yeah. So for example, I'm starting Sony Michel this week over Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams saw 9 targets in week 1. Since that game, he has seen 9 total targets in the 5 games since. So Jamal Williams seemed like he was destined for a larger role in this offense, and that has just come crashing down, and he is now not involved whatsoever. We're seeing DeAndre Swift completely take over as the receiving down back, where Jamal Williams is actually pretty good and he is competent and capable, but he is now the predominant ball carrier on the ground. And for an offense that has yet to play a single offensive snap with a lead this season, that's just not going to happen for Jamal Williams. So this is a guy, low upside play. I really don't think that if you are just putting Jamal Williams into your starting lineup, you're hoping for 5 half PPR fantasy points and you're happy with that.
Yeah. All right. Give me one more name too that you're a little concerned with going into this week.
I get it. Why Myles Gaskin is RB27 in ECR up against Atlanta. I get it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I mean, this is just, yeah, every single week that we feel confident about what we're going to get with Myles Gaskin, Brian Flores is like, ha, got you. I can't do it with Myles Gaskin. I feel like he is a desperation play at best, where you literally have no one else on your roster. I've got him way down in the 30s.
Against Indianapolis, 0 half PPR points for Myles Gaskin. Against Tampa, 27 half PPR points. Last week against Jacksonville, which should have been a good matchup for him, 2 points. That's it.
Guess that which is, weeks I played him and guess which week I sat him.
Oh, teacher, I know. I mean, and why wouldn't you sit him against Tampa? Coming off a goose egg, why would anybody start
him
against Tampa?
Why wouldn't you play him against Jacksonville? I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous.
My goodness gracious. All right, let's get to Andrew's guys here. Who are some guys that you are looking to sit this week if you actually had the depth to make that sort of a decision?
Well, the first guy is Alex Collins for the Seattle Seahawks, because I don't know what the heck's going on with him and his hip injury. You have a terrible matchup against the New Orleans Saints, basically the second worst matchup you can get at the running back position besides facing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And again, we talked about durability. Alex Collins, there's a reason why he's been a journeyman in his career. It's like he got the volume the last 2 weeks and he broke. Like that's what happened. Like, it's not easy to shoulder a entire workload through 2 games, especially when you're just running into a Pittsburgh Steelers front, because the Seahawks are like, no, we're not going to throw the ball with Geno Smith. We just want to run the ball with Alex Collins. And it worked, because if you started Alex Collins last week, that you got good production out of him. But there's a price to pay for that type of production and workload, and Collins is kind of feeling that right now. So I think that the move here is, again, I think Collins is still, you know, ranked inside the top 24 running backs, but it's a tricky situation because they don't play till Monday night. So you're kind of asking yourself, okay, am I going to wait for Alex Collins? And I would say no. Like, I would try to fill in your RB2 slot with one of these other options that we're talking about, because number one, A, you don't know if he's even going to play. And second, the matchup is terrible. Third, Rashad Penny is supposed to come back. So what happens to this backfield now that Rashad Penny's involved? We saw DJ Dallas have an expanded role in the passing game. So we don't even know if Alex Collins is going to be catching a lot of balls and catching receptions. So that just limits his floor to rushing alone in a bad matchup. So just a lot of question marks about Alex Collins. It was nicer. Like, it was when he was the clear-cut guy, you could back him, okay, like a solid RB2, locked and loaded. And I have him in a bunch of spots. I had an uncomfortable amount of him during that Thursday night game against the Los Angeles Rams. So I've been watching his usage very, very closely, and I just got concerns about him in this particular spot with the injury and some of these other guys coming back.
I wonder if we start to see a shift, you know, because in NFL scouting, you know, we've been able to go towards these smaller, faster running back the last few years. And, you know, so far, I think the results have not really been all that great overall. I wonder if we're going to start to go back to more of the punishing style of running now that Derrick Henry's been so good. Maybe we're going to go back to the Jerome Bettis style. Like, give me the big bruising backs and maybe start to change the way we look at the backfields. Maybe speed isn't everything. Maybe these guys just can't stay on the field. The smaller backs, just generally speaking. Yates, from a dynasty perspective, do you think maybe perhaps we start to see a shift there in some of the theory?
It's actually pretty interesting because that's a macro level view where you've got a lot of teams that have moved towards the outside zone scheme. And that means that you've got faster, shiftier running backs that are able to just plant their foot and get upfield. And because of that, we don't see the Brian Urlacher type running backs anymore. The 250, 260 pound running backs, unless they can move.
You mean the Brian Urlacher linebackers, you mean?
What did I say?
Running backs.
Yes, I meant linebackers.
Although he could, you know what? I don't mind
probably could have. Yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry. So yeah, with like the linebackers, we've seen them slim down. We see that 220, like Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is playing linebacker and he's around 220, if even that. So
Devin White's a smaller linebacker.
Yeah, like 230 is kind of where, because these guys need to be able to keep up as far as speed with so many of the other running backs now that are so much faster, shiftier, things like that. So if we do see now where these running backs, NFL teams now take advantage of that where they can just say, okay, we're going to go back to power, you know, gap power run schemes. And we're going to get a 230 pound running back and we're just going to run over the defense because they don't have the size to be able to withstand it. It's an interesting conversation.
Everything is cyclical in the NFL and anything that anyone does that works, everybody tries to copy.
So it's going to be Ramondre Stevenson time.
I was about to say,
Bill Belichick, hey. He's playing checkers and everyone's playing chess. Everyone's like, why is he not going for a fourth down?
No, he's playing chess when everyone else is playing checkers. And then Brian Urlacher is playing running back. Get it straight, Andrew. There's a lot of moving parts here on the show today. What's with you guys? Come on. I'm supposed to be the old guy who can't get anything right. You guys are all over the place. I kid. I love you. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Jock Market. It's time to check out Jock Market, the app where daily fantasy becomes a stock exchange. Buy, sell shares of players in real time for real money. At the end of the night, all shares have a guaranteed payout based on fantasy point scoring. Download now a 100% deposit match up to $50 using the promo code PROS. And just this week, they're offering a special contest on Thursday night. If you deposit with the promo code PROS and trade at least $20 in the Broncos game, you could win an extra $50 and a paid subscription to Fantasy PROS. Finish with a better return on your investment than our team, and Jock Market will throw in an extra $50 into your account and free paid Fantasy Pro subscription. Check out jockmarket.com. That's jockmkt.com/pros for more details. Think you can beat the market? Prove it on Thursday night and cash out a little extra. And if you complete a live trade, Jock Market will pick one random trader to give them another bonus of $100. Are you kidding me? Download it now and enter the promo code PROS and check out jockmkt.com/pros. And now, back to the action. All right, let's play a little game here. Who should I start using our Who Should I Start tool, which is free at fantasypros.com. Allows you to kind of take two players, compare them together, see which ones you want to start, or basically what the experts will tell you in terms of the percentage. Let's start with the Battle of the Miles. And I think I know the answer to this after talking to you guys, but Miles Sanders or Miles Gaskin? Andrew Erickson, who would you rather start?
Miles Sanders is my final answer.
Okay, and I see from you nodding your head, Yates, same thing, right?
Yeah, you know exactly what my answer is there.
Well, 86% of experts agree. It is Miles Sanders over Miles Gaskin, according to the Who Should I Start tool. Let's go with one that's a little tougher. Let's talk about our boy, Ramondre Stevenson. Oh, we were just talking about him. He's a very popular pickup this week, and I can understand why. Ramondre Stevenson or Kenneth Gainwell. Now we're back to the Kenny G, and just when I thought the soft jazz was out of my head, now it's returned. Yates, you can go first on this one. Who would you rather start, Ramondre or Kenny G?
I want the guy who's actually going to see work, and I think that's Ramondre Stevenson. I don't know what that volume is going to look like, but I think that Kenneth Gainwell has more upside, but Ramondre Stevenson running the most routes out of the backfield for the New England Patriots last week, which is just kind of like upside down world. Madness is interesting to me. So I have both these guys as like, you know, mid-range RB3s to low-end RB3s this week, but I think I'll go Ramondre Stevenson there.
All right. I actually agree. How about you, Andrew? Ramondre or Kenneth Gainwell?
I would absolutely love it if Brandon Bolden was inactive and they put Ramondre Stevenson in the James White role. Just out there on third downs, catch dump offs from Mac Jones. That would be excellent. But yeah, I agree. Stevenson, he got a goal line touch and he's getting more involved in the passing game, which is, I think, is an underrated part of his game that he actually was pretty good at Oklahoma. So I got Stevenson.
Well, 63% of experts agree with us, and those are the correct 63%, I can tell you right now. Let's talk about a little bit of the wide receivers. Let's hang out with these guys for a second. The wide receiver position, a lot more bountiful, plentiful. I think we can all take a deep breath. It's the stress of running back that I think it's really taken its toll on the fantasy football playing public, and rightfully so this year. It has been very difficult. So wide receiver, a little bit easier, but that being said, still some difficult options. We got some guys coming off bye. We got some big guys like the Cowboys guys who are off on a bye this week, and a few other big teams and some big wide receivers. So let's start with you, Andrew, on this one. Who is a wide receiver in the top 30 that you are concerned with starting this week?
It's Tyler Lockett for me, the Seattle Seahawks. I was concerned about him heading into the matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers with Geno Smith at quarterback, but I did want to see, I didn't list him as a sit anywhere because I just wanted to see kind of things play out. They had a week of practice with Smith as the quarterback, and I was not really surprised by the results. You know, 5 targets, 2 catches for 35 yards, not really much happening for this passing game with Geno Smith at the helm. I know they've been entertaining calls from a certain Cam Newton to potentially, you know, unlock this passing game, which as Patriots fans,
really,
Joe,
that's what you, that's the cheat code to unlocking a passing game is Cam Newton. I didn't realize that.
Way too well what that would result in. So I think the thing with Metcalf and the difference between those two is at least Metcalf, I think, is going to just get the volume as the alpha in the offense to be okay. But Lockett needs the efficiency. He like needs Russell Wilson. You know, you look at the first 4 weeks of the season, Tyler Lockett has a perfect passer rating when targeted by Russell Wilson because these guys have a connection that is one of the best on the football field. Whenever Russ is rolling out of the pocket, looking downfield, making guys miss, who's he going to hit? Oh, Tyler Lockett. That does not happen with other guys under center, whether it's Geno Smith, whether it's Cam Newton, whether it's, I don't know, whoever the other Seahawks quarterback. It's just not the same. And we've seen Lockett have droughts of or fantasy slumps all the time. Like, he does this every single year. He has a slump for like half the year where he just does nothing. Like, this is the slump. Like, it's good now because at least we can see it coming because there is no Russell Wilson. So just, I don't really think you can start him without Russell Wilson. And that's just kind of how I feel. He had 5 targets. This team shows us that they want to run the football with whatever running back that they have left. This Saints-Seahawks game is going to be one of the worst Monday night games that we're going to watch because it's going to be an absolute slog. Two teams are just going to run the football. It's going to be over in like 2.5 hours.
So New Orleans, as far as pace of play, New Orleans is at the bottom of the league and Seattle is fourth in the bottom of the league as far as pace of play. This game is going to be so boring.
It's a terrible game environment. He doesn't have Russ. So Lockett, like, we were always afraid to bench Lockett because, oh my God, he's going to score like 50 points. Guys, he's not scoring 50 points without Russell Wilson. So
you missed the window to trade him. I mean, we talked about week 2 and 3 about trading Tyler Lockett, right? We were very clear about it. Look, he might be a good wide receiver rest of season, but he can't possibly maintain the pace of what he did in those first few games. And that was just the immediate red flag to make that deal. And then, of course, you compound that with the Russell Wilson injury, and now there is no trade value anymore. Now it's gone. Poof, it's gone. Yates, for you, who is hitting the pine potentially in the top 30 wide receiver, or maybe just somebody that you're going to start, but you don't like the matchup?
Yeah, it's interesting because with so many, I mean, every single game so far this season, we've been able to say, like, this is probably what's going to happen. We don't know exactly. We project this is going to happen. No, we know what's going to happen here in this game because we've already seen it play out. It's Corey Davis, the New York Jets wide receiver, going up against New England. We know that Zach Wilson is going to turn the ball over. I don't know if he's going to turn the ball over 4 times again this one, but the last time that Corey Davis played the New England Patriots earlier this year, he had 2 receptions for 8 yards. So I am certainly not projecting that small of a receiving workload here for Corey Davis. I think that he is going to be targeted. I think that we're going to see more than that, but he is currently wide receiver 30 in ECR, and that's just a little bit too high for me, where I think that there are some other options available that have higher upside, right? If you play Corey Davis this week, there's no upside. There's no upside to Corey Davis with Zach Wilson as his quarterback up against Bill Belichick. So I think right now you're just playing him for a high floor. I think there are other options in this week, particularly where you can swing for the fences a little bit. Like any, honestly, any of the Arizona Cardinals wide receivers, I think you can play over Corey Davis in this one.
over under 2.5 Zach Wilson interceptions this weekend.
I'll take the over.
Take the over. How about you, Erickson?
Take the under.
Take the under. Because 4 was a lot last time. I mean, it's, you know,
you always, 4, when you in doubt, you take stuff. When in doubt, you take unders. Again, it's lame. It's lame to root for things not to happen, but it's plus EV.
You're no fun. Get out. All right, let's go to the next one here. One on my list, number 26. He actually moved up one since I started this morning. Allen Robinson versus Tampa. I know it should be good, right? You would think this should be a good situation. And you probably, this week, might be in a situation where you got to start him. But I got to tell you, I mean, he hasn't put up double-digit PPR points since week 2. He's got just one touchdown on the year. He's dealing with an injury. I mean, there's just a lot of factors right now where I just don't feel good. And I'm very concerned with Justin Fields going against this Tampa defense. I think they're going to do some things to frustrate him. If they had David Montgomery in this game healthy, I might have a different feel for it. I understand they're getting Williams back. I get all of that. But at the same time, I think my concern is the ability for Fields to push the ball against this specific defense. And maybe it's going to happen finally. And yes, if it's going to happen, this is the secondary where they should just let it all hang out and give it a go, because you're probably going to be on the L side of this game anyway. Literally, what do you have to lose? But I just don't think Matt Nagy is going to do that. And therefore, Allen Robinson, to me, becomes somebody that I'm concerned with. So let's get to more positive things. Let's talk about the guys we like here. Yates, give me a guy or two that you want to start this week that you feel positive, who's in that flex conversation, that wide receiver 3 tier, somewhere in that range.
Oh, let's start Allen Robinson this week, boys.
Okay.
Allen Robinson. All right. So from weeks 4 through 6, Allen Robinson has a 24.2% team target share. This is higher than the following players: DK Metcalf, DeAndre Hopkins, Adam Thielen, Michael Pittman Jr., Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, and Jalen Waddle. However, it has just resulted in 15 total targets because the passing volume.
He's got less fantasy points than all of those guys.
Yes, 100%. Like, the passing volume has not been there. But you look at Tampa, you're not going to run the ball on Tampa, especially with Khalil Herbert as your starting running back if Damian Williams misses this game again, which I haven't heard anything on Damian Williams coming back from the COVID-19 list. So they're going to throw the ball. We're going to see Justin Fields throw the ball more than 30 times in this game. We saw it, 27 this past week. And we started to see that Allen Robinson moved back into redraft relevancy, right? He wasn't fantastic by any means, but he started to move back into the conversation. And with this secondary, again, you're not going to try to run the ball. You're going to throw the ball here. And I think that we're going to see Allen Robinson be featured, at least to the point where he's going to see enough volume. We're in a week where we have some really, really, like, we're considering some really, really desperate options. Like, I'm playing Allen Robinson over Corey Davis this week. Like, I'm just doing that.
That I understand.
Right.
That I understand, because if you're going to die on the hill, you die on the hill with the guy who, you know, at least is getting the target share. At least you have a theoretical good matchup there where they're not all trying to stop Allen Robinson. But at the same time, what you're saying theoretically all makes sense on paper, and it's just not happening on the field. And I feel like we're setting ourselves up for a letdown potentially this week, because that's what Matt Nagy's done to us. Basically, he has conditioned us for letdowns when it comes to Allen Robinson. So all the stats bear it out that, yeah, it all should be better, but it's just not happening. And I hope it does happen this week. Let me be clear about that. What do you think about, Andrew, about Allen Robinson this week? Cause you want to start him too, don't you?
I do want to start Allen Robinson
because
he can't
continue to be,
he's not going to finish the season wide receiver 60 or whatever he's at. Like, we know that's impossible. Like, he's not, it's literally impossible for a player that plays as much as he does, that sees as many targets as he does in this offense, and a player that is as good as Allen Robinson is, to finish as the wide receiver 60 overall. Like, it's just going to regress to him producing. And look, if he catches the touchdown last week instead of Darnell Mooney, then people are probably more open to Allen Robinson as the start. I know that him and Mooney are ranked back to back, and I think it should be like that. You know, they're basically splitting everything in targets, and it actually, Darnell Mooney's actually running more routes than Allen Robinson is on the field. So I get why they're ranked so closely, and really, I think it is a kind of a coin flip because their usage has been so close. But if you look at Robinson, again, top 4 target share last 4 weeks, saw 3 end zone targets last week, saw 219 air yards against the Green Bay Packers. Like, these are the things that we want to look at, these high value targets. This is what we want to chase when we're trying to project the next player to break out in a game. And I think Yates hit the nail on the head with the way that this game script projects to be like. You know, we know Tampa, they can't run the football. They're not going to be able to. They're going to have to throw the ball. And that's been the problem for Allen Robinson. He just hasn't been getting the volume. And this is the game where he should get volume. So I understand it hasn't happened like you said, Joe, but like, this is why we do it. This is why we have jobs. Like, this is why we're analysts. It's like, we put all the pieces together and it's saying, hey, we put it all together, and out of the oven comes, oh, and Allen Robinson top 15 performance. Let's go.
Right. Just like, you know, Miles Gaskin should be terrible against Tampa and really good against Jacksonville. Right. And clearly that happened as well.
For context, really quick though, like sure. Allen Robinson, I'm not saying that he's a top 20 receiver or that I'm ranking him there. Like he's wide receiver 26 in my ranking. So he's still someone that there are other options that you can look at. Like I'm starting Jaylen Waddle over him for sure. Like Marquise Brown, I'm starting like those kind of guys. But Allen Robinson, if you've got him on your roster, you're still like, if you still have him on your roster, then he's probably still someone that you actually like are looking to start and needing to start. I'm saying that you can do it with confidence.
I hope so. I hope you guys are right and you don't get nagged, but I feel like you're going to get nagged. And we're going to be here next week and I'm going to say you got nagged. See what happened? Don't trust that guy. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Air Medcare Network. Now, we've talked about Air Medcare Network before. In a medical emergency, AMCN can get you to a hospital fast. And since there are no out-of-pocket expenses for anyone in your household when flown by an AMCN provider, your finances are protected too. AMCN is a brilliant play and here's your next call. Complete your coverage by adding Fly You Home to your membership. Here's how Fly You Home works. Imagine you're hospitalized far away from home. Who wants to be in a strange place with strangers taking care of you? Nobody. With Fly You Home, you can make the call to be transported back to your local hospital, closer to your own doctor and family. Fly You Home takes care of absolutely everything from hospital A to hospital B. No bills, no paperwork. It's a smart way to reduce stress and put control back to you in your care, in your hands. Here's how you do it. You go over for Fantasy Pros listeners, sign up for Fly You Home today and receive up to $100 e-gift card. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/pros and use the offer code PROS, AMCN, and Fly You Home. It's a lineup that can't be beat. And now, back to the action. Give me another guy, Yates. Not named Allen Robinson, please. Enough already, the two of you. Give me somebody else you want to start this week you feel good about.
Henry Ruggs. Henry Ruggs has been producing in a big way for fantasy football, especially where we drafted him, right? So through 6 weeks, Ruggs is now the wide receiver 27 on the season, and he's currently 11th in the NFL at the wide receiver position in yards per route run with a minimum of 30 targets. He has an impressive ADOT of 18.6 this year, and he's making big play after big play. And the thing here with this matchup up against Philadelphia is you look back to when Kansas City played them, Tyreek Hill went off for big play after big play. They are susceptible to that type of passing play deep downfield, and that's where Ruggs has really shined. And so I think with Derek Carr, you look at Philadelphia, they're middle of the pack in as far as fantasy points allowed to opposing quarterbacks, but they've also played guys like Jimmy Garoppolo. They had the Sam Darnold 3-interception game, but with Patrick Mahomes, they got torched. With Tom Brady, they got torched. Derek Carr, I think, is closer to that category than he is to like Jimmy Garoppolo and Sam Darnold as far as NFL quarterbacks. And Carr, in this offense, right, without John Gruden, showed that he can get the job done. So I think Ruggs is in for a big game here. I have him at wide receiver 27 on the week, and I think that there is a chance that he moves up even higher than that by the time that we get to Sunday. I want to start Ruggs if I've got him this week.
All right. Andrew, give me another guy you want to start this week.
Well, I don't know if I want to start him like, oh my God, like, this is the best. But I think, again, in the context of this week where we have so many teams on bye weeks, like there's a lot of guys that most weeks I would be like, no, I probably don't have to start him. But it's like, oh wait, no, now he's a like top 36 receiver because there's nobody yet left. So I have to start this guy or at least consider him. And the guy I'm looking at is Tyler Boyd. He's done his best Casper impression in the last 4 weeks or in the games he's played alongside T. Higgins. He has target totals of 4, 9, 5, and 3. So three of those are just not going to get it done. And he's basically just disappeared with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase just capturing all of Joe Burrow's attention in this offense. And really only it's been Chase that's been producing. Higgins has gotten targets, but has really not put up much in the stat sheet in terms of production. But you look at the matchup against the Baltimore Ravens, they're weak in the slot. Like that's really where they are not the greatest at defending. It's why a lot of people were hyping up Keenan Allen last week heading into the matchup against the Ravens. He did see a decent amount of targets in that game, but we saw the Chargers offense kind of fall off the tracks. So they rank last in yards after the catch from the slot, 22nd in completions allowed. And if you look at PFF's wide receiver cornerback matchup chart, Tyler Boyd actually has the best matchup among the Bengals' three wide receivers. So I think that this is a good bounce box spot for him. We know he's not going to get, you know, these little amount of targets all season long. Eventually he's going to get targeted more in this offense. So I think this would be a good spot for him. I think he's a wide receiver 3 this week.
All right, who don't you want to start this week, Andrew? Give me a name that you're just terrified of, and even with all the buys going on, is just not cracking your lineups.
It's Robbie Anderson. He is PFF's worst graded wide receiver this year, 54.8 with at least 20 targets. And, I mean, it was the epitome of it last week. Like, it's one thing. We usually want to chase guys that are getting opportunities. Like, he had 19 targets heading into last week. Over the past 2 weeks, you're like, all right, like, he's getting opportunities. Like, this is a chance. And then he was like, oh my God, he got 11 targets. Like, this is great. He had 11 receiving yards. Like, come on, man. Like, three
when
catches.
You have more when you have a double digit targets and almost single digit receiving yards, that is hard to do. That is not easy. That is quite a feat. Robbie Anderson really should take a victory lap on that
one. Yeah. And this is where efficiency matters with the wide receiver position. I think that it matters more at wide receiver than it does running back, where you can kind of get by on volume. Like, we talk about Mike Davis, like, yeah, like, he's not great, but he gets 15 touches a game, and that's why he's going to produce in fantasy. Like, receiver is a little bit different. Like, you actually have to be good at wide receiver to be productive in fantasy for the most part, because he's getting the targets. And if I'm the coaches and I'm looking back at this, all I'm thinking is, okay, we probably have to throw the ball to Robbie Anderson less. Like, this is not working. Like, we need to get other guys involved in the offense. I think that DJ Moore is just going to kind of encapsulate more of the targets, maybe get the running backs more involved, maybe get the tight ends more involved for Carolina, because right now Sam Darnold targeting Robbie Anderson is hashtag no bueno. And this is why I was so concerned about Robbie Anderson, because he was bad with Sam Darnold in New York and he was good with Teddy Bridgewater, and then Teddy Bridgewater left and then people were like, Anderson and Darnold, yay. And I was like, no. And that's what we're kind of seeing transpire or kind of play out here with Robbie Anderson. So again, usually I would never deny a player that saw 11 targets and say, no, you can't play them. But I mean, we've already seen this happen multiple times this year. He's gotten the targets and he still can't produce. So it's just the inefficiency is just way too bad for Robbie Anderson to be trusted right now.
It boggles the mind, Yates, when it comes to Robbie Anderson, because I never saw a player that kind of didn't have a lot of good favor and then one season curried a lot of really good favor. Like, everybody in the fantasy community, I think every analyst looked at it and said, this is a good situation. He's a better quarterback, theoretically, Sam Darnold, than Bridgewater. Can do a lot more. And Andrew's right. Maybe it wasn't perfect. But again, you always take a giant grain of salt with whatever Jets data you get offensively, because it's just not applicable necessarily. But at the same time, Robbie Anderson's been maddening. He's not like he's not getting opportunities.
Right. He just forgot how to catch the football.
He just literally isn't catching the football. It is stunning right now.
And Darnold had what it was credited with 8 drops from his receivers
last week.
It was a real bad.
Yeah. And Robbie Anderson, I assume, is somebody for you, Yates, also, that you would sit this week.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I'm not going anywhere near Robbie Anderson. I get that the potential is there. The path is there. But
it's been there.
And it just has not translated.
There it goes.
It's a very short path, though. It goes about 3 feet and then it stops and then it falls off of a cliff. That's about where the path is.
Yeah. All right. He's just a flex option at best. If you're absolutely desperate, you're hoping that he remembers how to catch a football.
All right. Give me another wide receiver here, Yates, that you do not feel good about starting this week.
He's wide receiver 43 in ECR, and I literally do not understand why he is not down in like the 60s, because he shouldn't even be rostered. That's Brandon Ayuk. Ayuk, I mean, at this point, what has he done so far this season that we can confidently say that he is a flex play this week, right? Like, within the top 48 wide receivers, that's a flex play. Brandon Ayuk, you cannot trust him in your starting lineups whatsoever, just based on everything that we've seen so far this year. There's the narrative that you can play out that, okay, they went into the bye week and they said, we got to get our most talented players the ball. No, I'm not buying into that narrative whatsoever. So Brandon Ayuk, I've gotten a lot of questions about, can I drop Brandon Ayuk for, you know, a waiver claim this week if I'm desperate? I'm like, yeah, just do it, because he's a headache.
He's still around.
Yeah, he's a headache to roster in fantasy so far this year. It is ridiculous that he's not producing, that he's not being given the opportunity, but I just don't see it happening here.
Yates, take a trip with me to August 15th of this year, and I told you your wide receiver core going into a year for a team is Allen Robinson, Brandon Ayuk, and Robbie Anderson. How do you feel about that wide receiving core?
Probably pretty good. I mean, you could probably put you could put AJ Brown in that conversation prior to last week, and now I've been like, yeah, that's, I'm winning a championship. It's ridiculous.
It's not going well. All right, Erickson, give me another guy to a wide receiver that you're just not into this week.
Odell Beckham Jr. I got some concerns about the injury that he has going on, this AC joint grade 3. I talked to our injury expert over at PFF.com, Mario Pilato, about it. And he's like, I mean, this guy might not even play. Like, this guy could potentially miss like 4 weeks with this injury. The grade 3 tear is not, it's just bad news. And I actually think that having Case Keenum under center is not even a downgrade for Odell Beckham. I actually think it's like a legitimate upgrade. You look at when Mayfield's targeted Beckham this season, he ranks last in catchable target rate. and 56th in passer rating, 76.6. So when I first heard that news, I was kind of like, oh, like I might move Beckham up my rankings with Case Keenum under center, because it literally cannot get worse than Mayfield throwing the ball to OBJ. And it just sounds weird, but it's true.
I know.
But then I got more news and information about this injury, the grade 3 AC joint sprain, and it's like, dude, he's talking about like trying to play through it, and now I'm thinking, okay, he's just going to be like a decoy. Like, he's just going to be running routes on the outside. I mean, he's been a decoy with Mayfield under center anyway. So, I mean, when they put up so many points against the Chargers, Beckham didn't even get involved at all. So they can still put up points without Beckham even touching the ball. As long as he's on the field, I think that helps the Browns, because Mayfield wasn't throwing the ball to him anyway. So that makes the defense respect their offense a little bit more with Beckham out there. So maybe he guts it out and plays in this game, but I really have no idea how involved he's going to be. So it's just, I kind of wanted to shy away. I mean, like, you're not missing the boat with Beckham really any single week, because he just doesn't have that high ceiling that we've seen before. So it's not one of these where, you know, that's why you're always scared to bench a guy like Lockett or OBJ, because like, oh, they're going to put a 40. I'm going to feel like an idiot because I benched them. It's like, I don't think that that's in the range of outcomes anymore. So
when's
I think
the last time that guy put up 40?
Exactly.
Or 30? Or 25?
He was wearing blue.
He's wearing blue, probably. Very, very true.
It's the name brand, and people are more afraid about benching a guy that gets like 40 points than starting the right player. So
yeah, well, you should be sitting. You should have drafted him, but if you did, it's over. It's over. Let's play a little game. Let's do a little who should I start here, and let's measure you guys against the experts. I'm gonna do an Allen Robinson one just to gauge really how much you love him, really deep down. I'm going to pit him right against his teammate, Darnell Mooney. These guys are very close in ECR as well. So Allen Robinson or Darnell Mooney? I'll start with Mr. Bear, Kyle Yates. Which one do you want to start?
I will go with Darnell Mooney. He has the higher target share. Over the past 3 weeks, Darnell Mooney with a 32.3% team target share, and then Allen Robinson with a 24.2%. I've got Mooney at 25, and then Allen Robinson at 26. So they are super, super close. Obviously, you can't get more closer than that, but I will give the slight edge to Darnell Mooney.
In ECR, Robinson is ranked 26th, Mooney's ranked 27th, but that doesn't matter. All that matters is what Andrew Erickson thinks next. Andrew Erickson, Mooney, or Robinson, which way are you going?
When I'm pitted with these really tough questions between wide receivers that are ranked very close to each other, I like to leverage PFF's wide receiver cornerback matchup chart. I think that it helps when you're really, really stuck between two players, and there's a lot of ways that it grades players. And this is actually what I've been using. I should have used last week when I was looking at the Bucs receivers, because Antonio Brown was like blowing up over the spot in the chart. And I was like, oh, this should be the guy. But of course, I ranked Godwin in front of him, and I felt like an idiot because I was like, it was right there. So trying to learn from my past mistakes and looking at the chart this week, and it's Allen Robinson that pops out. He's projected to match up more against Pierre Desir than any other the Bears wide receiver, and that's
I didn't even know Pierre Desir was on the Bucs.
Yeah,
goodness.
He signed in for Sherman. Any warm body right now. Yeah, they signed in for Sherman.
Goodness.
It's bad.
So yeah. That's what I'm going to go with. Again, it's very close, and it's not like Desir is going to shadow Allen Robinson, but I'll lean with the matchup chart.
I think it's very close also. I would actually lean towards Mooney in this one. However, that is not what they're saying. 77% of experts would go with Allen Robinson here. So there you have it. I know it's very close, but still, it's kind of a landslide. Let's do another one. A guy that we talked a ton on the waiver wire. Actually, both these guys, waiver wire plug-in plays. So let's go with Rashad Bateman or Marquez Callaway. Both guys, one Callaway coming off of a bye, Bateman getting his first taste of NFL action finally last week. Andrew, who would you rather start this week between those two?
I'm going to go with Rashad Bateman, and it really doesn't have to do as much with the players. I think that you could probably project them for similar target shares, similar roles, but just looking at the two game environments, Bengals, Ravens, potentially high scoring, back and forth, competitive game. Yes. Seahawks, Saints, we talked about it. Slog. No thanks.
Slog indeed. How about you, Yates? Your thoughts on these two, Bateman or Callaway?
Callaway has started to come alive here recently, but I just can't do it. I know the matchup is there, but Bateman, I think, just has a better chance of being consistent, right? I think I know what I'm going to get with Bateman versus Callaway, where the way that I would view this is if I need a safe floor, I'll go with Bateman. If I need the upside, I'll go with Callaway and swing for the fences play.
I'm going with Callaway here. I think Callaway is getting a little bit more play. They're coming off a bye. They're playing the Seahawks. I'm going to go that route there. I mean, listen, I know it's the Cincinnati Bengals and people still roll their eyes, but the Bengals secondary is not terrible. You know, Bell and Bates have played very well this year. I'm telling you, they've got some guys out there to play. And I like Bateman. I think Bateman's going to increase, don't get me wrong, but 69% of experts agree with you two guys. So I'll just sit here with my Marquez Callaway and move on to quarterbacks. And let's talk about guys at the quarterback position we're worried about. I'm worried about Ryan Tannehill. He's only topped 20 points once this whole year. Julio dealing with injuries, A.J. Brown's, you never know what the heck you're going to get with A.J. Brown. He's in, he's out. Who knows what's going on there? And pretty much you're just handing the ball off to Derrick Henry, which is now what they've reverted back to. And this is a shame because Tannehill was one of my favorite quarterbacks. He was that guy that we pounded the table for, and I feel kind of betrayed. Because in the preseason, it was all about, this guy doesn't get enough respect. This guy should have more respect. This guy's a QB1. You know what? He hasn't been a QB1 much this year. So you know what? I'm worried about him, and I know it's a good matchup against KC, but once again, things could look good on paper. They don't always come to fruition if you're watching the games. You know right now this Titans offense, although A.J. Brown is back and things might be getting slightly better, it still has a lot of problems. Andrew, when it comes to quarterback, who are you concerned with this week that's in the QB1 conversation?
I guess it's Jalen Hurts. I mean, it's crazy that he always just finds a way to finish as a quarterback one, and that's going why I'm going to rank him as a quarterback one. But eventually, he's going to have a game where he just doesn't luck into the two rushing touchdowns. And I really shouldn't use the word luck because he's still out there. He's earning these points for people, and even if it is a little bit garbage time, a little Blake Bortles-esque, it still counts. So he's finding ways to score fantasy points, which you love. But the matchup this week pits his offensive line, which has allowed the third highest pressure rate against the Raiders defensive line that has the second highest pressure rate generated. So I think he's going to be under disarray a lot in this game. You can spin it where, okay, but that means he's going to run more. Yeah, it does. But we just don't want your quarterbacks under pressure. Like, that's been the problem with Sam Darnold the last 2 weeks. He's been under pressure. And that's why he's been not nearly as good or nearly as efficient as he was during the first 3 weeks of the year when he was playing much softer defenses that weren't that were allowing him to operate from a clean pocket. So I'll mention Hurts, and it's just a reminder that I would probably looking to like sell high on Hurts because eventually the
chickens will come home to roost.
It's going to turn
fantasy,
back.
Well, the fantasy points aren't indicative of the performance. And this happens sometimes where a guy is a better fantasy player than an actual player. And we kind of don't come to that realization sometimes. And then the concern of, well, does the coaching staff replace him at quarterback, which I don't think they should. I think that's ridiculous. What are they going to learn from putting Joe Flacco at quarterback? At least let Hurts play it out.
Gardner Minshew.
I have to admit that every time I see the Eagles inactive report come out and Gardner Minshew's on, I have a sigh of relief over me because I have Hurts in a bunch of leagues. I know that if he's not active, like, that's good. Like, they're not going to put Flacco in. But I think Yates brings up a point that, you know, if Minshew starts to become active, I think it's just worth kind of monitoring and be like, all right, well, that's new.
All right, let's take a guy in the top 12 at quarterback, Yates, that you don't feel good about this week.
There's not really many. I think it's just downgrading Matt Ryan a couple of spots. He's at QB12 in ECR currently. I've got him at 14. So I get the matchup up against Miami. Miami has just been brutal. This is supposed to be a fantastic defense on paper, and they just have not been doing that. Apparently, all the fantastic defenses on paper coming into the year got hit with some sort of curse because Washington, Kansas City, Miami. I think Matt Ryan can do enough here, but I'm just downgrading him a couple of spots. It's still Matt Ryan and this Atlanta offense.
Washington's a surprising one. I'm not surprised by, well, Kansas City was opportunistic at best. They played better, you know, towards a stretch run. Washington's the one that I think all of us are standing here scratching our heads because we just don't get it. We talk about it on a weekly basis. Bogdan and I on the IDP show talk about what's going on here. Why aren't they getting the same pressure? What is different? And I don't know if it's just a scheme situation or what, but they got to go back to the drawing board and the X's and O's. So if you don't like Ryan, after Ryan, you got Fields, Tua, Daniel Jones, Jameis Winston. Would you start any of those guys in particular over Matt Ryan this week?
I would start Tua. Tua going up against Atlanta. In his first game back, he looked sharp. Now, he didn't get the job done as far as the team leading him to a victory over Jacksonville or anything like that. But it's Atlanta. Like, this is Atlanta's secondary. This is the best matchup, I think, for the quarterbacks in this range. So I will go with Tua.
Andrew, let's talk about the super flex. You got guys in the bubble this week. Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo, now Case Keenum, not Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith, Zach Wilson, Davis Mills. It's not pretty out there. Is there somebody that you feel, is it back to Jimmy G against Indianapolis? Is it Case Keenum? Is it somebody like that? Can you start Jared Goff against the Rams? What do you do here? Or do you just not play a quarterback at Superflex and play a wide receiver?
As appetizing as it is to think about starting Jared Goff in a marquee revenge game spot, I will not do that to myself.
And yeah, I mean,
going up against the coach, going up against the coach who knows his weaknesses better than anyone else on the planet.
I find it personally offensive that all week anybody could talk about is the Matt Stafford game. This is the Jared Goff narrative game, ladies and gentlemen. Jared Goff showing Sean McVay he's not so bad after all. Or
It would be wild if Jared Goff's only win without Sean McVay as his head coach came against Sean McVay.
But it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
You can't. I want
to make. We
got
to make a wager if that happens. Next, we all have to wear funny hats on the. If that happens. If Jared Goff, we're all three of us are going to wear funny hats on the show next week. That's it. Funny hats on the Start Sit show.
I'll buy a Detroit Lions jersey. Like, I'm a Bears fan, so I don't want to wear that jersey. Ooh, but if that happens, I will buy a Detroit Lions jersey.
Wow. All right. But I'm gonna...
the quarterback, though, I will lean towards here instead of, you know, a fringy wide receiver or something like that. I play Garoppolo. I mean, the Colts defense has allowed the highest touchdown rate this year. So I think their defense is really nothing special. Better against the run, not great against the pass. And, you know, Garoppolo gets these, you know, dump off to Debo. Debo runs for 80 yards and you get a touchdown. Like, that's all you got to do. It's pitch and catch for Jimmy G. And just as long as he's playing the whole game, I don't know what the status with Trey Lance. We don't know the status really on either of these guys if they're healthy. So I'm assuming just Garoppolo is the starter. I really think that you could plug and play either 49ers quarterback in here. I think that the matchup is solid. So I would be fine with Garoppolo as my QB2.
Who should I start, Tua or Jameis Winston? Andrew, what do you think the experts say? What do you say?
I'm going with Tua. I just think we've talked about it, you know, ad nauseum here, but the Saints-Seahawks game is just not a high-scoring environment where the Dolphins-Falcons game, like, that has a chance to really be a sneaky shootout where both teams are going back and forth, not great defenses, two offenses that like to run fast pace. So I like Tua.
I agree. I'm with Tua. I actually think Tua has some DFS appeal this week in tournaments and also because of the price. Your thoughts on this one here, Tua and Winston? Yeah, it's still Tua, right?
Yeah, it's pretty easily Tua for me. Jameis Winston has the potential to throw for 3 touchdowns in this one, or he could throw for 0, and we see Taysom Hill come in the red zone and steal those. You know, so it's just, right. It's a wide range of outcomes here for Jameis Winston. I just don't want to mess.
Wide range of outcomes. It's the worst. All right, let's go to tight end. For me, the guy, a little concerned with Tyler Higbee, just because... Could be the laser light show where it's Woods and it's DeSean Jackson and it's Kupp always. We know it's always Kupp, and maybe Higbee's just the odd man out on this scoring onslaught. Yates, dare I say, you know, a tight end you don't feel good about, but once again, beggars can't be choosers in week 7.
Yeah, I'm definitely playing this guy, but Noah Fant all the way up at tight end 6 is a little aggressive for me up against Cleveland. We don't even know if Teddy Bridgewater is going to play in this game, too. Could be Drew Locke on Thursday night. This game is just going to be, it's going to be terrible to watch. We thought that Monday night football was going to be bad. We got Thursday night football. So Noah Fant, I've got him down at 10 on the week or 11. Like, I would play Tyler Higbee over him. I would play Dallas Goedert. Even Ricky Seals-Jones, I'd probably play over Noah Fant this week.
Andrew, anybody stick out for you, or you're good?
I'm good, man. Like, all the top tight ends are in the right spots, and Robert Tonyan is far, far away. So that's what I like to say.
That's all he cares about.
You did. You know what? I got to tell you. You know, I think there was still a torch being held for Robert Tonyan, but you doused that torch like Jeff Probst, baby, a couple weeks ago. You just took that bad boy. You stuck it in the ocean, and that was it for Robert Tonyan. That was like week 3. You were just over it. And I want to give you all the credit because you were ahead of the curve there. A lot of people were still hanging on. All right, so let's talk about the streaming guys there. So we got Zach Ertz, Mo Ali Cox, Evan Ingram. I won't say his name, but Robert Tonyan, Cole Kmet. Out of these guys, if you had to stream a tight end, Andrew, who would be the one?
I still think you can go back to Zach Ertz. I know it's kind of he's in a weird spot on rosters because you picked him up thinking he was going to be like a Philadelphia Eagle, and now he's on the Arizona Cardinals. You have him on your roster already, so you're kind of in a weird spot with him, but I think that you can still play him, assuming that he's like going to play in the game for the Arizona Cardinals. Again, the matchup against the Houston Texans is really good. They've allowed the second most fantasy points to tight ends this season. And I think we can expect his role, even without him playing yet a snap for Arizona, we can expect to probably be, he's probably going to fill in for what Max Williams was doing, which was actually pretty decent. 56% of the routes run per team dropback, which is pretty similar to what Ertz was actually seeing as a member of the Philadelphia Eagles when he was splitting time with Dallas Goedert. So he's now in a high-powered offense, more passing volume. I think that he's in a good spot, especially with the matchup. If the matchup wasn't as good, I could probably get away from Ertz, but because it is the Texans, I think that, hey, he's got a good chance of any tight end of scoring a touchdown. So I think that Ertz is solid this week.
All right, that being said, let's see how solid you think Ertz is. Ertz or Ricky Seals-Jones, Andrew, which one would you rather start?
I still would go in this situation with Ricky Seals-Jones. I mean, his use is just, I mean, he's only run fewer routes, like two fewer routes than Terry McLaurin for the Washington football team. So that's just unheard of among tight ends that just run that many routes. And those, that's how you find fantasy production. You know, he's basically a wide receiver that you can play at tight end. So I think that you could just continue to play RSJ until Logan Thomas comes back.
Ricky Seals-Jones or Ertz for you, Yates?
I will go with Ricky Seals-Jones. It's close, but I think the upside is there for RSJ.
All right, 73% is the percentage on the side of Ricky Seals-Jones, and the routes run is an excellent point. And as much as I like the upside of Ertz, eventually, again, he does have to kind of acclimate a little bit. All right, let's get to our top start sits of the week, and then we'll touch real quick on the grossness of Thursday Night Football once again. Erickson, give me your must start and must sit of Week 7 in the NFL.
Shooters got to shoot their shot. Allen Robinson, start him, and sit will be Tyler Lockett.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right about Allen Robinson, because I think it would be finally nice to see a player of his ilk turn things around, especially in a contract year. I see that's the worst. Like, I feel bad for the guy. He's playing for free agency, and look, he can't even. He's like, man, where's Blake Bortles at? That is not good. That is not good. Yates, give me your must start and must sit of Week 7.
I'm going to go with the start here of Henry Ruggs. I talked about it earlier, where Henry Ruggs in this matchup up against Philadelphia, who gave up big play after big play to Tyreek Hill when they played earlier on this season. I think that this is a massive game incoming for Ruggs, so start him. And then for me, my sit is Jamal Williams. I know that we are desperate for running backs right now, but there is no guarantee that Williams sees more than 8 touches in this one, and there are some other options that I think you can go with that have that guarantee. So sit Jamal Williams if you got him.
All right, Yates touched already on my sit guy earlier, which is Corey Davis. That's the guy that I understand he's in that top 36, but you just can't do it this week against New England. It's just not a good situation. They're going to lock him down, take him away. It was not good last time. I don't think it's going to be better this time on the road. And then the must start for me is J.D. McKissic. I think you get him in there. Even if Gibson's on the field, I think McKissic is absolutely flex-worthy this week, because what is the upside that McKissic actually gets to the field, stays on the field? I just don't see that happening. So McKissic for me. And you know what? If Patterson is still available in your league, go grab him off the waiver wire now. Just go pluck him off there if you still can. If waivers are processed and he's still floating out there, give it a shot. All right, Denver at Cleveland. Let's play a fun game here. Who has more fantasy points, Melvin Gordon or Javonte Williams? Yates?
Push. I don't know.
This is personal for you, because Melvin Gordon did troll you on Twitter, and I let it slide, and I was going to let it slide, but he did. He absolutely buried you, he buried you into a timeshare of other proportions. But what are your thoughts here on this? You better say Melvin Gordon, because if you don't, I'm going to
Right, yeah, he's going to come after me again. Okay. I'll go with Javonte Williams here slightly. But I mean, again, I joked about it where I said push, but honestly, it might be very, very close here. I think both are start worthy in this running back landscape currently.
All right, Andrew, same question. Would you start both of them? And if so, who do you think has more fantasy points when all said and done?
I'm going to go with Javonte. I think that he's the more explosive running back of the two, and I think that he's a better chance of busting off a big run. So, again, they're ranked like back-to-back for me. I actually think that I actually might lean D'Ernest over Melvin Gordon. I think that he'll get more volume, so I'll go Javonte, D'Ernest, Melvin Gordon.
Oh, wow. Melvin Gordon, if you're listening, you got a new guy over at Fantasy Pros to be trolling here. Have you ever been trolled yet by a Denver Broncos running back, Andrew? Because I think it's coming soon.
It's not fun.
It's not fun.
Trying to take the heat off Yates a little bit.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Wow. Melvin Gordon, I think you're wonderful. So I'm not can you start Donovan Peoples-Jones, guys? Can you start any of those Browns wide receivers under the circumstance we're in right now?
You can only start DPJ if Odell Beckham Jr. is out. Okay. I think that's the only situation where you can start him, because, again, there are other options at the wide receiver position this week that have more guaranteed volume. And we don't know what we're going to get out of Case Keenum. This is going to be really interesting. He's going up against Pat Shurmur, the offensive coordinator that he was with in Minnesota, who was responsible for the best season of his career. So just like Jared Goff, Pat Shurmur is going to know Case Keenum and his weaknesses better than anyone. So it's just going to be, it's going to be a weird game here.
I didn't know Case Keenum and Jared Goff had weaknesses. It's all new to me. It's all new. It's all coming up for us. Yeah, I know. Sarcasm, boy. Sarcasm. All right. Don't forget, everybody, head over to fantasypros.com/myplaybook to use the start sit assistant for yourself, help you set your lineups, use the expert consensus to do that, get you the best guys into your roster. And for those rosters that maybe you just don't have the time to manage anymore for one reason or another, don't forget about that autopilot feature also available only at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. So get in there and get going. I want to thank all the sponsors of today's show, including Jock Market. Check out jockmkt.com/pros for more details about how you can get $50 into your account at Jock Market and get a free paid subscription to Fantasy Pros for the rest of the year. Head over again to jockmkt.com/pros. Also, don't forget about Air Medcare Network. Are you ready? If the unthinkable happens, Air Medcare Network is. Check them out over at airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Again, use that promo code fantasypros. And of course, Pristine Auction, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. Check out Pristine Auction. Get a $5 credit when you sign up with the promo code fantasypros and start bidding today on all the cool stuff that they've got over there at Pristine Auction. Good luck to all of you this week. I'm counting on all of you. I'm rooting for all of you. I know it's going to be a tough one. We will get through this together, and we'll be back here next week to do it all again. For Andrew Erickson and Kyle Yates, that'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network,
available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.